from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Skip Mitch in here before he hangs up on us again. 916-909-1320. What's happening, Mitch?
Sorry about my phone, Casey. By the way, a little late. Happy birthday, and congratulations on, was it 1,000 episodes, shows next Wednesday? I think I've been on a few.
Yeah, you've been on a couple. 977, I believe.
You got it down for you. Big brother, you know when you don't pay taxes. That's all I know. So I do.
Yeah, just this is a radio show, so you don't have to tell us everything, Mitch. Maybe keep that to yourself.
I don't even try. I have no choice. Remember, you get your check after they take taxes. It's not the other way around, you know. They call you, you don't call them. It's that's the way it works. They call you, you don't call them.
What's going on, Mitch?
No, I think Jesse's out.
I'm looking forward towards more of the college football. I think a lot of what was left of the Pac-12 and 3 other 4 conferences. I think sooner than you think they'll be winning their conferences. I know Texas and Oklahoma went to the SEC. Mm-hmm. And how do you like, you know how I feel about Caleb Williams and to take the Bears to playoffs. But there's an opening in Minnesota. I think Sam Darnold is going to have a good year. And if you heard of Wally, Lou Gehrig took over him, Wally Dibbs, Wally Bibb, my mistake. Well, that's me, JJ.
Oh, so you think think Sam Darnold is going to Wally Pip JJ McCarthy?
No. He's gone, bro.
I
think that's what he was saying.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
They lost. Do we have the
Sam Darnold's not.
Sam Darnold stinks, bro.
Anyone.
Do we have the severity on Jordan Addison's injury? Did anybody see that?
I don't think we have a timetable yet, but
that's tough. That's tough, man. I don't think the Vikings are going to be very good.
They've had a horrible offseason.
Yeah.
No, they have. Huh?
I'm with.
They're going to be in line for Shador.
And if Deion will say no,
then they'll have decisions.
There.
Yeah, then they'll have to make a trade or something.
not Deion, but
I so bad want to know like the 6 teams that Deion wants to go to. The Cowboys are obviously one
there.
Of them.
I just gotta find it. He said it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Or it's been reported or anything else like that. But
the Niners, the Cowboys, the Commanders, the Ravens, and the Falcons. Wait.
He played. He played for all those teams. Right?
Yeah. That's the teams he played for, and he wants Shadur and Travis Hunter to play for them.
I was gonna say he played for all of those teams.
Sounds about right. We have an update. From Ace Bergsalem. 95-98 HBK is untouchable. Thank you.
Okay. Tell your boy, Ace Bergsalem, 98 Shawn Michaels doesn't exist. Tell your boy,
298
Ace Bergsalem, that Shawn got eliminated in January of 98.
In 98.
Sean's got the Iron Man match.
And I
want to
be
at that time.
No, hold on. Let's just walk through this real quick. Hang on, one second. 95. So he eliminated the original ladder match and went with the Ladder Ratch remix at SummerSlam 95. You're also throwing.
So we can go 94 then?
We're also throwing. Well, that's not what Aceberg said. Ace said 95. Let's go with what Ace said. Whatever. So we're going, instead of his two iconic matches with The Undertaker, we're going to go with his iconic match against Vader.
It's the one where he kicks him in his face,
I'm sorry. How about his classics against the British Bulldog?
So once again, the criteria is different. I don't care nearly as much about matches as I do the character. That Shawn Michaels was a better character than
Shawn Michaels descended from heaven while The Undertaker ascended from hell in their match against WrestleMania 25. But that character is better?
This Shawn Michaels also super kicked a kid, too. Like, that's pretty sweet.
He super kicked a kid.
All I'm saying is the criteria is better when you talk about the promo. Like, the post, and I don't mean to be like this. I kind of don't mean to be like this. I definitely don't mean to be like this because I support this 100%. But I'm not even going to get into it. But you know the difference between that Shawn and this Shawn.
Yeah.
So his promos pre that were more, I think that was a better character. There was things that he wouldn't go towards after that.
But let's be clear, you're not including any of that either. You said pre-Lost My Smile, which was February of 97.
I'm talking about that era. I'm talking about that era. And you had
He keeps expanding the
range.
You had
a good point, the back injury. The back injury is like, that's the end.
So the true way to break this down.
I won't count Degeneration X.
No, but you should.
Because that's Attitude Era.
But he wasn't in the Attitude Era point. True. If you go pre-back injury and post-back injury, it's not even comparable.
I can't argue that he had better matches or anything.
Tell Ace
like
he's fired. I'm blocking Ace on every platform for that nonsense.
The character, the Heartbreak Kid character. From the moment he put Jannetty through that glass window.
Yeah, and then went on to a long-standing feud against El Matador.
I don't care. The character's better.
The only thing he did in that era that was dope was when Sherry would hold the mirror and she'd go to kiss him and he'd push her down and she'd do that pose. Oh, that was great stuff. That was great stuff. Of course, you're also factoring in the era in 97 when he wore a thong on TV that had like a Santa Claus mustache on the back. Or a Santa Claus beard.
I don't co-sign the wardrobe, man. Come on now.
We can all agree bald Shawn Michaels sucks, though.
Well, I don't know. Nah, he might be NXT the goat. Shawn Michaels might be
the goat. I mean the one we showed up for that Saudi match the one time.
He might be the goat.
It was so bad.
He might be the best. But real quick though, those teams, you're right. I never even put that correlation. Those were all teams that Deion played for.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, but
it's crazy to think.
Oh, the Philadelphia Eagles are one of those teams too in there.
Okay, he didn't play for them.
Gotcha.
He didn't play for them, but I guess it's being familiar with what you know.
I mean, really hyped with for college football.
me too.
I'm ready. I was a little down, obviously a lot down because, you know, Pac-12 is gone and all this other stuff. But around this time, this is when I start doing my research for, you know, who's good team, whatever the case may be. And now I'm listening to my college football lives every day, the podcast and all this other stuff. And I think we're about 2.5 weeks away from week zero, I think it is.
Yep.
And I'm ready. I'm ready. I think
might not even be half. Might be 2 weeks, right?
Maybe so. I think
29.
So I'm going Saturday.
Oh, I thought Thursday. I thought it opened Thursday. That's my fault.
It might. It might. I don't know.
It might be a game we don't want to watch.
Yeah. Well, they actually got a decent week zero game. It's Florida. It's not in America.
That's also
that's
one
killer.
Of the dumbest. Oh, that's
it's,
right.
It's Florida State versus Georgia Tech.
That's right.
In Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
You guys excited at all? It's like USC and the Big Ten now. I know, like when the Pac-12 was over, it kind of sucked or whatever. But now that we're kind of past that,
yeah, it doesn't. I'm not phased one way or another. I'm not like looking forward to it, and I'm probably more distressed by it than anything. But it doesn't bother me like it used to. But
Florida State and Georgia Tech is 9 days away.
9 days.
Nine days away.
Not this Saturday, the next Saturday.
Yeah, and there is a slate of games None that you'll really be interested in. 2 weeks from tonight.
I think Sac State plays on that Thursday, don't they?
Well, I only have the top 25 pulled up, so I'm
Well, they should be there.
No. Well, they should be.
I don't know if we talked about the other day, too, but sad Jim Harbaugh won't be able to be the honorary captain at Michigan's first game.
You know, it's just, it doesn't
damn Chargers commitments.
He doesn't want to be a distraction, and I understand that. You know, I understand that.
Giants got the win. Four-game losing streak snapped.
The Giants are in the win column.
Hey, they're back at 500 now.
They're back at 500. I'm assuming, I'll look real quick, but I think they're probably about three games back for that final playoff spot. Three teams ahead of them, which is a killer.
Matt, Matt's going to join us in a minute. I said this on the handoff, so what Aaron Judge is doing, like we marvel, and rightfully so, at Shohei Ohtani. Aaron Judge, what he's done over the last handful of years is, it's incredible.
I've been kind of wondering this, like how impressive is it because he's doing it clean? Dude's just a monster, like there aren't many Aaron Judges out there.
So here's the thing. I saw this. I didn't bookmark it, but I just saw it. I was like, wow. So somebody else said, I think somebody tweeted out, like, what Aaron Judge is doing is one of the most impressive things in baseball, especially since he's clean, right? And they're right. They're not wrong. But then they did, like, the little pro baseball reference side by side in games played or seasons played to Albert Pujols. Not even close. Albert ahead in every category, and it's not even close.
But that, so was the line, this is the most impressive thing we've ever seen? Is that what he, okay.
And then including that, that he's clean.
That hyperbole is too much.
Albert was clean from everything that we, I believe Albert was clean.
I just assume everyone does steroids. Take a completely different approach to this.
Bonds, I mean, when you talk about 300 home runs, I mean, Bonds got 300 home runs, I think. Obviously, it wasn't as fast as Aaron Judge because he's the fastest ever.
That's right.
But I want to say Bonds hit his 300th home run, maybe 94, 95. So it was back before anybody thought he was even thinking about steroids.
The question is, how many more does he have? Like, he's 32.
How many more home runs does he have? Is tough. But, you know, we're in a different era. He can play for a while.
He'll get to four easily.
I think he'll get to five.
I'll get to five. I think when you start talking about, I think he'll get to five. I think when you start getting to six, that's where I think you, because that's 300 more home runs. Mm-hmm. And I know Barry hit 300 home runs plus.
In like a year.
Stop.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
With the hyperbole, it was like two. I know he hit 300-plus after 32, mm-hmm. and I'm positive Hank did it too. Mm. I don't know if anyone else did it. I don't think that they did. But like hitting 300 home runs after the age of that's like incredible. Yeah. I'll put him somewhere in the 500 range. I might even lean lower in the 500 range.
Yeah.
But what he's doing right now is incredible.
If I had to guess, I'd probably say like 550. That's where I'd put him. I think he'll make a push for it. Just with how the game is played nowadays. Mm-hmm. You got DH universally and all that. So he doesn't have to stay in the American League to do this. But I think he's gonna be up on that list when it's all said and done, though. Top 10, maybe.
Let's talk Kings. Let's talk schedule. Let's talk strength of schedule. Let's talk all the stuff Matt George has been tweeting about. Matt George of Locked On Kings and ABC 10 joins us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, we are back. Little Warriors talk there during the commercial break. Warriors insider Reese Caraway offered him a Buddy Hield jersey. He said, "Not so fast, pal."
Catch Reese from 4 to 6 on 1320.
Well, I know what station it beat. As we welcome in our good buddy Matt George from the Locked On Kings podcast and of course ABC 10. Matthew, what's that? By the way, the stage for the 1,000th episode is going well. There's speakers and lights all over the place.
They're working.
This is going to be a WrestleMania-level extravaganza.
Oh, man, like the Titantron?
Just with no food, apparently. Or at this point, no alcohol either.
Bro, we just dumped the vending machine.
Yeah, we got nothing.
Yeah,
we have nothing. Matthew,
did I not make the list of guests that's allowed in the building for that episode?
So let me.
No
let
one
me,
said nothing to me. I've only been in part of like 600 episodes.
There's a story behind this.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There's a story.
We would love for you to be here for the 1,000th episode.
You would you?
No, I'm dead serious. We would love for you to be here. I just want you to understand. No, we need you for episode 1,001 too.
Oh,
yeah. What happened?
Because the 1,000th episode is a Wednesday, and Thursday's going to be hard enough after how dope Wednesday's going to be. Mm-hmm. So you absolutely can be here for the 1,000th episode as long as you promise to be here for 1,001 too.
So you need me to carry the hungover episode after.
Well, I wasn't going to put it that way, but you're very good at reading between the lines.
Think about it this way, Matt. It's the Monday after WrestleMania. It's the Raw after WrestleMania. It's very important.
What?
All right, Matt. Did you hear
this? You're already doing a freaking live show that I can't go to on the Monday Night Football opener that I have to miss because I'm probably going to be in Santa Clara.
Oh, so poor baby.
The two biggest games or shows of the year I can't come to?
No, I'm sorry. The poor guy has to go to the season opener.
NFC
have
championships.
You driven to Santa Clara?
Well,
back in
that's
the day?
Yeah, sucks. Yeah. That's
it ain't easy.
That sucks.
Yeah,
that sucks.
But I'm excited to be there.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm excited for the
too,
season to get here.
Damn, they that's need right. to do some good things. They need to get me excited here.
Well, yeah,
it's 1,000th episode from my couch. Apparently,
no, you, Matt. We'd love to have you. It's going to be a Matt George doubleheader. It needs to be Wednesday and Thursday.
If Matt George wants to be like the Kings and have a back-to-back, come through. It's nothing.
Kings got 16 of them. We're asking you to have one.
Can we talk a little bit about how the schedule release day exposes everybody's inability to freaking count? Because the amount of people that have been saying it's 15 back-to-backs is 15. No, it's 16. And it made me second-guess myself like three or four times. And I know what it was. Everybody didn't see the December 21st and 22nd back-to-back. It's a Saturday, Sunday. So on the calendar, they're not right next to each other. So it's Lakers and Pacers Saturday and Sunday in Sacramento. That's going to be a hell of a back-to-back.
That is a hell of a back-to-back.
That three-game stretch before
Christmas.
Is crazy.
Those are the two games right before Christmas.
That three-game stretch is crazy. It's Lakers, Pacers, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday.
3-0.
Is the first Laker game at home?
Yep.
Oh, because that's a stretch of, what, like five at home around the holiday season?
Yeah. Those three that we talked about, and then the day after is at home against Detroit.
That's the third time in 30 games that you're playing the Lakers.
That reminds me. What are the dates for that again? You said 20 and 21st?
The 21st and 22nd, Saturday and Sunday in December, the last two games before Christmas. This is the doubleheader that everybody's missing.
I'm dumping my plans. I really wanted to go to New York this holiday season, and I had mapped it. I didn't book anything. I had mapped it out in my head. We'll see what the King schedule looked like, and I laid the days out, and those are all of the days, Lakers, Pacers. So I'm not going to New York to see the Christmas tree.
Well, what about New Year's?
Yeah, right. I'd rather no. Absolutely not.
I need Dame to go to the New Year's Day celebration or New Year's Eve celebration just so a camera can catch him looking absolutely miserable.
There's nothing I would possibly hate more than being around those many people. Man. That is just
how much you got to pay to go?
Horrendous.
How much would someone pay you to have to pay you to go?
A lot.
And you have to do the full experience too, which means you have to get out there early as hell to have a spot.
Oh, a ton.
That's awful.
Like we're entering at
a million?
No. Like if I'm being dead serious, we're entering like five figure territory.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it?
We're not even having a conversation if it's under $10,000.
Wow, I thought the price would be higher. I'm not gonna lie to you.
That sounds awful, and it's for me. It's not the people. Like that's whatever.
Oh, it's the people.
It looks like it's freezing. It looks what they say in New York, brick out there.
It does look cold.
It looks so cold every year.
Was the back-to-back thing what stood out to you the most about the schedule? Like what caught your attention, or what stood out to you? Is I know you've been diving into it quite a bit since it dropped this afternoon.
Yeah, I think my biggest takeaway from this is everybody looks at the schedule and immediately wants to try and find something to be mad at. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's a pretty balanced schedule. Like, I also went into the expectation, like, yo, this schedule is going to be hard. No matter what, this schedule is going to be hard because that's the state of the NBA. Like, almost every single team in this league is very good, and especially in the Western Conference. Like, this schedule is going to be hard. It doesn't matter how long your homestands are, how long your road trips are, back-to-backs. Doesn't matter. Like, one, I expect it to be hard, and two, I don't care about excuses. So I guess I looked at this whole schedule with just the open mind of I expect it to be challenging, and then you realize that it's actually pretty balanced. Like, the Kings are pretty middle of the pack. If you're talking about strength of schedule analytics, which I know some people roll their eyes, but it incorporates travel, it incorporates rest days, incorporates everything. Strength of schedule analytics, Kings have like the 11th hardest, which, okay, it's bottom half of the league in terms of, or top half of the league, I guess, in difficulty. But they have the same amount of rest advantage days as they have rest disadvantage. So it's right down the middle. 2 6-game road trips, 1 7-game homestand. They also have a stretch where, like people have talked about, they don't leave California for basically a month. Like, there's not a lot in this schedule that I really look at to be mad at. It's like, okay, go time. Like, we understand where these games are. You understand that there are going to be some stretches like that first 6-game road trip where you have to get your work done ahead of time to be able to handle the ups and downs of that 6-game road trip. And I'm talking about the one in January where it's Denver, New York, Brooklyn, Philly, OKC, Minnesota. I mean, that's just a brutal, brutal 6-game trip. None of those games are on back-to-backs, by the way. You have a rest day, at least one rest day in between each game. So that part's good. But you need to handle your business in December, where a vast majority of your games are at home, and even early January, where a majority of your games are at home, and give yourself as much of a cushion as possible to where you can go into that road trip, and 3-3 should always be the goal. But if you drop a game here or there, you're in an okay spot, because that has the type of road trip to where if the Kings are in sixth place and it's like five teams are within a game and a half of each other, that's the kind of road trip that can sink you down the standings. And now we're talking about trade deadline time.
Is there anything on the schedule that you're like looking forward to, a player that you wanted to see, a team that you wanted to see, maybe a matchup? Like you look at it like, oh, this is going to be a good matchup with the Kings and Grizzlies. I don't know. Is there anybody on there that you wanted to see?
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in some obscure ones, like Jordy's return to Sacramento with the Brooklyn Nets in November 24th. It's a Sunday game. I'm excited just to see Jordy and him come back and what he can do with that team. DeMar DeRozan's return to Chicago, which is early January, January 12th, which is also a Sunday. That's a 12:30 game. So those are some more obscure ones that I'm interested in. I don't like the fact that the Kings and Lakers play each other four times in the first 32 games. I think that's absurd. I think that's ridiculous. Just like the Kings played the Warriors three times in the first, 15 or 20 games last season. NBA needs to do a better job of stretching these out and balancing these out a little bit. And then, I mean, you look at all the national TV games and they make sense. The first one is a little confusing. And by the way, I don't include NBA TV as national TV, even though it counts as the total number. But like the first national TV game that the Kings have is, I think, what is it, Houston on TNT, if I'm not mistaken. Like that was an interesting choice for the first one, but the rest of them make sense. I mean, Denver on ESPN, Golden State on TNT, Golden State on ESPN, Clippers on ESPN at the Intuit Dome. So I think the NBA got a lot of the national TV matchups with the Sacramento Kings right.
One thing that we talked about earlier was game one. That feels like a great opening game for Sacramento. Yeah. Be tested against a good team that you fought with quite a bit last year. That, like you, is going into this season with some expectations. And, of course, the Minnesota Timberwolves. I love that as game one for the Sacramento Kings. I love that even more as game one for the Sacramento Kings at the Golden One Center.
I'm with you. To me, that puts to the test something that I think is a key to Sacramento's success this season, period, which is you just got to be better at home. And you have to get to a point at home where it doesn't matter who's coming in. Minnesota, Boston, you're expected to win. Like that's the level that the Sacramento Kings need to get to. Now, it doesn't mean they're a betting favorite every single night, but the Kings should take their floor in Sacramento against any competition, and every fan in that building should be like, yeah, we got this tonight. Mm-hmm. And I think there's, over the last two seasons, even with how good this team has been, you could tell there was some hesitancy or some nerves or just some, whether it was an inability to maintain leads or just getting torched from the perimeter defensively or dropping games to Detroit or something like that. Like for some reason, home court has not been as much of an advantage as it should be, considering the crowd and the atmosphere, which, by the way, the NBA wants to showcase for the second straight year. The vast majority of the national TV games that the Kings have are in Sacramento. The NBA wants to showcase Sacramento because the crowd is always insane. The noise is always great. The beam is fun. Like the NBA wants Sacramento to be shared with the world because of the atmosphere, because Sacramento represents so much of what makes the NBA great in this market. And the Kings need to do a good job on that stage. But even on a Wednesday night game that's not on national TV against Toronto, like on November 6th, like those are the nights that the Kings just have to handle their business. And I'll be honest with you, too, a couple matchups that are a little nerve wracking to me that the Kings have to kind of help us get over. You got Black Friday against the Trailblazers in Portland. You got the day after Christmas against the Detroit Pistons in Sacramento. If those don't sound like trap game holiday hangover messes, I don't know what does. Because you lost to Portland. You got destroyed by Portland in Portland last season, the day after Christmas. And we all know what Detroit did to Sacramento in Sacramento while I was in Vegas for the Super Bowl coverage. So the Kings, regardless of who they're playing, they need to play the same way. And that Minnesota game, I think, is a perfect example of, you're going to have the energy. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. You're also taking on one of the top teams, not just in the West, but in the league, period. but you're at home, handle your business.
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys, man. You know, talking about being a better home team than they've been, quite frankly, the last two seasons. Mm. And I think it's all there for them. You mentioned it earlier, Damon. The crowd isn't the issue. Like, the atmosphere isn't the issue. It's always rocking in the Golden 1 Center. It was a mental thing, and I think it's something that they'll get over this year. And this is where you get a situation where, you know, these guys can win 52, 53 games. Because if you – they've been good on the road the last 2 years. That's something that stayed the same. I think three games over 500 last year. They might have been 6 or 7 the year before. You keep up that type of consistency on the road where you're about a 500 team or slightly above that. But instead of being 5 or 7 games over 500 at home, you balloon up to 10, 11 games over 500 at home, like you should be, like most other teams do in playoff contention in the Western Conference. Now you're looking at a team that's won 53 games, 54 games, or something like that, and you have some momentum at home to build on into a possible playoff series, you know, as the 3 or 4 seed or something like that. So I think it's a huge deal. You guys hit the nail right on the head with that. It's a huge deal to take care of home court, because if you can do that, it seems like it'll open up so many more things and so many more possibilities and opportunities for this team to be, you know, a top flight team in this league.
And the same way we look at these long road trips, the 2 6-game road trips that they have towards the end of the season, they also, right before that final 6-game road trip, they always they have that huge 7-game homestand. End of March, from March 17th through the 27th, Memphis, Cleveland, Chicago, Milwaukee, Boston, OKC, Portland. Now, many of those games are not easy. You're not expected to win a lot of those games. Boston, OKC coming into town, you're probably not expected to win that. Milwaukee, too. But there's a stretch of 7 games at home in the final stretch of the season where if you need to make up ground in a race, or you need to extend a lead in a race or secure a spot, that's hopefully where you do it. Mm-hmm. Or if you're in a position of, hey, we're right there, we're just trying to secure our spot, everybody else around us is battling, hey, let's just handle your business here. Put yourself into, like, the cliche that Mike Brown always talks about is control what you can control, right? Control your own destiny, right? That is a stretch right there where you can put yourself in a position on your home court, no excuses, regardless of the situation. You can secure what you need to secure. And then you go on that final 6-game road trip, which is very gettable because you have Orlando and Indy, 2 good teams, but then Washington, Charlotte, Cleveland, and Detroit all at the end of the season. Those are great opportunities for you to extend a lead or make up some ground.
Wait a damn minute. Cleveland is not one of those teams. Why does everybody hate Cleveland?
I'm not hating on Cleveland. I meant the Detroit, Washington, and Charlotte. Those are those 3 games that you should be getting.
Yes, sir, but you said Cleveland, too.
Because I said the whole road trip.
You did say the whole road trip. I just think people look at Cleveland funny. And you know one thing I hadn't looked at, Matt, till you pointed this out? I knew it was 6 of 9 to end the season. And you talk about making up ground or extending or whatever if you're in a race. People feel a certain type of way about Denver. And, you know, obviously we'll be 79 games into the season at this point, 80 games into the season at this point. We'll know what Denver is, but if people's thoughts on them are accurate, maybe they've fallen back a little bit, maybe the Kings have moved up a little bit, that Denver game could wind up being a really big game. Mm-hmm. You got the Clippers after that. Mm-hmm. I know everyone thinks the Clippers suck. I don't know what the Clippers are. I'm not writing them completely off. I just don't think they're a championship contender anymore. That could wind up being a really important game. Yeah. Then you got Phoenix to close the season at 12:30 on Sunday. And I have Phoenix right around where they were last year, which is a 50-win team. Mm-hmm. If we expect the Kings to win 50 games, that's another game that could wind up being really important down the stretch. Or, in that case, the last game of the season.
And it could be the difference in, like, talking about positions. Maybe you're jockeying with one of those teams for a 3, 4, or 5 spot that's separated by a game or 2 games. But in reality, the Kings should be coming home from that final 6-game road trip with their playoff spot secured. Like, that's the goal. Come home from that road trip. You got 3 more at home. At that point, if you're playing hard still, you're playing to maybe jump up 1 spot or not drop a spot. Mm-hmm. But at that point, you should be, we are a guaranteed top 6 seed. Because if not, if you're battling on those final 3 games to avoid the play-in, I think something went wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I'm just asking everybody this. Do you look at the schedule and feel any different about, like, the what you thought this team's win total might be before that? Like, did you think they were at 51 before the schedule came out? Then you saw the sequence of games and all this other stuff. It's like, ah, a six-game road game, that's a little tough, man. Maybe I'll put them down to 49 or something like that.
Not even a little bit, because I think that opens up the door to focusing on what's not important. And to me, what's important is that the Sacramento Kings play their consistent brand of basketball. There are going to be bad losses over the course of the season. It's going to happen. It happens to every team. There's also going to be maybe a win or two that you should not have had, although I would argue that the Kings didn't have too many of those wins they shouldn't have had last season. In fact, they had a lot, way more games that they should have had that they just straight dropped or fumbled away. So, again, they could play the same team 82 times. For me, it's handle your business, right? And it's everything to do with the Sacramento Kings, and also goes into my expectation of what I thought the schedule was going to be before it dropped, which is it's going to be difficult. Like, there's just no path in the West of least resistance. It doesn't exist. Like, the West is just the West, and you have to handle your business wherever you're playing, whenever you're playing, and be aware that every single game has implications. There aren't gone are the days in the Western Conference of throwaway games. Those days are over. Yeah. Like, any game can cost you. So you need to play with the sense of urgency throughout the season, including in January and early February before you get to the All-Star break. Like, fight. That's all I care about. And 50 is still, I think I heard you guys having a conversation earlier, and someone in the chatty house was talking about, like, why are you so focused on win total? Why are you so focused on win total? Because if you reach a certain threshold of win total, you put yourself in the position that you need to be in. And that everybody kind of universally agrees, including members of the Sacramento Kings organization and your head coach, Mike Brown. They agree that 50 win total is that threshold. If you win 50 games and you are not a top six seed, at that point, you just need to turn to the history books and go, this is the greatest conference in the history of all time, and we just got to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you're just like bowing down to the league and the game of basketball as a whole. Yeah. But that's very unlikely. Win 50 games, no matter how you do it, whether it's at home, on the road, good teams, bad teams, doesn't matter. Win 50 games and you're in. And at that point, then we can start talking playoff series and matchups and how ready this team is to compete for a title. We can get there. But before that, I don't care who you're playing, get to that 50 win mark.
Do you have any feelings about the number of nationally televised games?
I think it's fair. Like, the number didn't surprise me. I expected it to be less than last season. Because remember, the Kings last season were coming off of not just making the playoffs for the first time and the beam phenomenon and everything. They're coming off of one of the most popular playoff series in NBA history. Like, that was one of the most watched first round playoff series ever. Yeah. So it didn't surprise me at all. Okay, Kings Warriors, every time they play, yeah, put that on national TV, because one, it was entertaining, and two, the basketball was just really good. Mm-hmm. So I expected that. I know the Kings towards the end of the season were flexed out of a couple games. I'm fine with that too. I honestly, six, three on ESPN, three on TNT. That was actually more than I was expecting, to be honest with you. I was expecting a large crop of NBA TV games and maybe an ESPN game and a TNT game here or there. But again, I think what the amount of home games that are national TV games for the Kings speaks to what the NBA wants to showcase. They want to showcase Sacramento. They want to showcase the environment and the fun team that plays here. Yeah. It's just, it's interesting to me that the first national TV game isn't till January, though. Like, you have a bunch of NBA on TN or NBA TV games, but the first national TV game is not till January 12th. Or, excuse me, January, where is it?
Is it 16th?
Yeah,
and January 16th. And it's against the Rockets.
Yep, TNT.
Yeah, I agree with you, Matt. I thought it was fair. You know what I'm saying? I thought that number was good. Like you said, you can get flexed in the games later in the season if you're a good team. I was a little surprised they didn't go with, since they had them on that Thursday, that they didn't go with Kings Timberwolves on TNT. They went with Nuggets Thunder, I think it was.
Mm. Oh, the season tournament, yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm to start the season. Opening night. Well, not opening night, the first Thursday, the Kings' first game of the season. you know, I thought maybe they might get that one for TNT. But me and Damien have talked about it a number of different times. You know, the national TV thing, it is what it is. You know what I mean? Like, it's, we're kind of past that a little bit. If they're able to get on there because they're a good team, we'll embrace that, we'll enjoy it. But as far as the initial scheduling of the season before anything happens and worrying about if somebody's putting them on national TV or not, that's something that, you know, we're kind of over.
D'Lo, I'll take back something that I said earlier too, because I said people look to the schedule to try and find something to be mad at. And I'm going to preemptively be mad at something that I just feel is going to happen because it's Sacramento. I hate that week in December where we don't know who the Sacramento Kings are playing, whether it's they advance in the tournament or not, because damn it, if they get two playoff teams again, while other teams get Detroit and Charlotte for their extra games, that's going to piss me off. Like the fact that you had to play the Phoenix Suns five times last season, play the Pelicans five times, then six because of the play-in tournament. Like, we got to clean that up and balance that out to where if teams are playing two games, one is against a playoff team in your conference and one is maybe against an Eastern Conference opponent that's weaker. You got to balance that out better, because that's an extremely significant advantage to some of the other teams who get to get kind of weaker competition in those flexed games.
Yeah. Was there a formula behind that?
I have no idea.
I think there was, but the whole who played at home and who played on the road, there wasn't a formula.
Oh, okay.
It was like, and we were like kind of, you know, frustrated by it, because like, I think Phoenix didn't make the in-season tournament, like the
Kings
the
did,
pool
yeah.
play or the bracket play. Kings did, but yet the Kings, for whatever reason, had to go to Phoenix for that game. And they're like, wait a minute, that's not fair. They don't add up. So, yeah.
Also, I'm glad we're not seeing the New Orleans Pelicans until February. Get out.
I'd rather see them early. Just get that over with.
Nope.
Either break the streak or just get the seventh straight loss. Just it's just going to be hovering over, like, okay, can they beat the Pelicans?
Boy, hell, the funny thing is,
they didn't beat the Rockets either last year, did they?
They did not.
It just wasn't six times. Yeah. It was 0-3.
Boy, those two games early in Houston, though, when De'Aaron was out and they got just decimated in both games, those were rough. But, man, that hopefully it's a good 6-day stretch. But you play New Orleans three times in 6 days in February, including back-to-back days in New Orleans. Mm. So can we make that fun, please?
Do you think that, I don't know if we've asked you this or not, but are you anticipating a maybe rough start to the season? Maybe not necessarily in like wins and losses, but the team not being in sync because they're trying to figure out how everything's going to play out with a DeMar DeRozan and adding him into the offense and all this other stuff. Do you anticipate that?
See, I won't panic with a rough start, considering two seasons ago it was 0-4 and last season it wasn't great either. As long as they stay healthy, I'm not overly concerned. But I always look at, for a team that's in the position of the Sacramento Kings, where they are not a guaranteed playoff team and not a team that's worried about or that's expected to go deep into May and June, right? Mm-hmm. I think jumping on the early part of the season is essential. Like that you got to pick up some games there while other teams are ramping up. Like playing the Lakers the second game of the season, I think that's probably the Lakers' home opener, if I'm not mistaken. So they're going to be amped up. They're going to be excited, but that game is gettable. Trying to get Minnesota early, if you can do that, that's gettable. And then you have some of these other games on the road where you play two times, you play Utah twice in the first couple weeks of the season, if I'm not mistaken. You gotta get those. You play Toronto twice in November, early November, in the same basically week. You gotta get those. So I think jumping off to an early start is essential for putting yourself in a position to maintain the ebbs and flows or survive the waves of the season that are coming, especially the fact that your two longest road trips are in the second half of the year. Like, take care of business early.
Sorry, Matt. It's not the Lakers' home opener. They're a Tuesday team. They're an opening night team, and they host Minnesota that night.
Even better. And it's not even Minnesota's first game either. Well, hopefully the Lakers lose, so Minnesota's not pissed off on Thursday. That would be nice.
Well, they're going to go 0-2.
Shut them down, baby.
Hey, we the kings, man.
Shut them down,
you know,
baby.
I mean, I don't care if they mad or not. Like, it don't
can we
matter.
Talk
we
about
out here.
Whether he's starting or not, can we talk about the Malik Monk revenge game narrative for that game? Because I want to see Malik Monk go off on Naz Reid for winning sixth man of the year when he didn't get it. Because Malik says he doesn't care anymore. He 100% cares.
I think when you point out that you don't care, you do. And that's fine. That's all right to care. It's all right to be frustrated.
I don't really read the newspapers or watch any of that stuff.
Yes, you do. You read all of it. You read all of it.
I didn't even think about that. That's a good one. I just think that that game, Golden One Center, it is going to be electric in that building, man. It's going to go crazy, man, to start the season. DeMar DeRozan there. There's so much excitement, Matt. I know people all around town stop you every time they see you and talk about how excited they are for DeRozan. And, man, what do you think we're going to do? Like, it's going to be a crescendo up into that first game, and Golden One Center is going to be electric, man.
Well, I appreciate, KC, you thinking that all of us get your kind of treatment every time you go out with people stopping you and talking to you and asking for pictures.
Matt George
and stuff
is on
like
TV.
That.
They see your face every day. They don't see my face all the time.
What station am I on, KC?
You're on ABC 10.
Yeah, thank you. Third time's a charm. I appreciate that. But no, I mean, the excitement is absolutely there, too. And it's fitting that the first game for DeRozan as a Sacramento King needs to be in Sacramento. Like, he already got kind of a taste of the love that he received with the ovation when he came out after agreeing to the deal in the California Classic. But with 17,000, probably 18,000 with standing room only in that building welcoming him, and the first bucket he hits, whoo, it's going to be pretty special there. I mean, the Kings have one of the best, and this is obvious bias, but I think it's true. Like, the Kings have one of the best home court advantages, just period, because every single time they take the floor, they know that the place is going to be electric. And I think opponents know that too. Like, I don't know about you guys. I just get the sense that opponents love playing in Sacramento. Ant has even said it himself. Ant loves playing in Sacramento. Now, that might also be because for some reason teams come into Sacramento and the basket grows by like 30 feet and they can hit everything that they put up for no reason. And everybody has a career high and it's stupid. But I think, like, there's always a genuine excitement for opposing teams and, of course, for the Sacramento Kings to play in front of that Golden One Center crowd, because it's an environment that's completely unique to Sacramento that, once again, the national TV audience wants to, or NBA wants to show off to its national TV audience.
Well, the schedule's out, and now we're done for, like, 2 months. There's literally nothing left.
That's
like
the worst
We were holding on to this. I have the schedule, and Christmas and TV and back-to-backs and strength of schedule. Oh, it's over. See you in October, pal.
You see the schedule and you're like, all these games, this is great. And then you look at October 24th and then you look at the date as August 15th and you realize that life sucks.
And what do we have? I just had it in front of me like a minute ago. October 5th is the first preseason game, 5th or 6th?
No, the 9th.
The 9th, I'm sorry. So we'll likely get camp at the very end of September, very beginning of October.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's still
and
that's a minute away.
You know, I'm gonna try and help us get there too. I mean, we're gonna probably start if anybody
break down the schedule
left,
week by week.
We could do that. Our week predictions for that
coming up on Locked On Kings. We'll break down the third week of December.
Okay, can you not call out my content, please?
No, I was like,
I'm
just trying to help.
Third week of December.
I'm trying to help.
I don't know if a lot of people are even gone, but for those who are, we're going to start seeing people coming back into the city soon, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
To kind of get things going and have the pre-training camp stuff. So it's right around the corner. It's right around the corner. It'll be here before
you're the same guy who says the weekend starts on a...
Today.
Well, today. Today at like 5:50, you can say that. You'd be saying it at 3.
Yeah, people right now listening to D-Lo and KC, they're like, man, it's pretty much done. I'll be here tomorrow physically. Mentally, I won't be.
Well, that's our whole odyssey.
No,
that's,
they're just not here physically.
That's our company motto. our company motto is like, we won't be there physically or mentally.
Miss Mac makes a good point, too. The 10-pound of muscle watch. Who's that?
Oh, that's a good call, Mrs. Mac 10. Oh, who is a candidate?
Keon.
No, because we've seen Keon. We saw him just 2 months. It has to be someone we haven't seen in a minute.
Well, They'll be Keegan.
Keegan might be six. Like, they're not going to go outrageous and go 10. Because I think he got the 10 marker last year, didn't he? He might get
was it
six.
Him or De'Aaron?
No, it wasn't De'Aaron.
De'Aaron was 2 years ago.
De'Aaron was years ago, thank God. Yeah, the 10 pounds of muscle watch.
It has to be someone we haven't seen. So it can't be Trey because we saw him for Team Canada. So it can't be Trey. It has to just be someone.
Yeah,
obscure.
I'm with you.
It can't even be DeMar. We saw DeMar this past weekend.
What if Carter comes back? Rehabbing. It's his shoulder, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way. 10 pounds of leg muscle.
What if Kevin Herter just walked in on media day just yoked?
Like Debo?
Looking like Mike Bibby.
Ain't nobody taking this starting job from me.
I'll fight you for it.
It's my job, punk.
Yeah, I think you're actually right. I think it's Keegan, but I think they'll be conservative and go 6 pounds of muscle.
We actually saw a video of Keegan. Kings posted it a couple days ago. Looked the same to me, but, you know, maybe I was wrong.
I wonder what Keegan's evolution is going to be, because De'Aaron's evolution is crazy. Mm. When you go back and you see, like, De'Aaron, like a baby, like a child. There was a child leading the Sacramento Kings. Like Reese out there leading the Kings. And the things Keegan got here, he's a little bit older, but like, what's his metamorphosis going to be?
I'm convinced Keegan's going to look the exact same the moment he retires. He's going to just, his photo from his final year in the league, which is hopefully 15 years from now with his, when they retire his jersey in Sacramento. Yeah. Like, the picture is going to be the exact same. And then we're going to go, is that Chris? Or is that Keegan? Which one is that one?
I wonder how his game is going to evolve. Like, is he always going to be this, you know, three-point shooter, kind of spread the floor?
You're going to dunk on people and start yelling?
Something. Like, is it going to turn into, like, oh, now he can cross you over, pull up mid-range? Like, I wonder if he has that. I wonder if he's going to be able to grow his game in that respect. If he doesn't, I don't think it's, like, a bad thing. Like, he'll be fine. Like, he's a good ball player. But I want to see if his game changes at all.
You know, on the NBA on TNT or ESPN games, when they do the Wired segments where they mic up different players, they need to mic up Keegan for a game and see if – and just play a reel of him not saying a word. Just see if he says anything. I would love to hear what Keegan Murray says in a game and what his game voice sounds like on the floor.
That would be amazing. I love the idea of that bit. A mic'd up Keegan Murray, and every time they go to the reel, it's just silence.
Doesn't say anything.
All you hear is the mic hitting his jersey. You hear nothing else. Oh, that's it. Matt, that's a great idea.
Lean into it. If that's what he is, show us that. Miking up Keegan. It's just like at the start of last season. You remember the home opener, because at the home opener, they always have a player come out and talk to the fans and say, hey, thanks for supporting us. Let's have a great season, blah, blah, blah. The Kings had Keegan do it during the home opener against Golden State. And you know 100% that was a completely intentional F you, Keegan. Like, he's still somehow got away with not having to do the rookie dance thing, because remember, he had COVID. So I still think he's paying for that. So
hey guys, thanks for coming out. We're gonna work hard this year. We're gonna win a lot of games.
That's not bad. That's not a bad Keegan. Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. Before we go, big as Leo season continues. Hey! Big happy birthday to our man Kyle Madsen.
Hey, Kyle Madsen
of the Insiders,
yes, sir.
Happy 45th, buddy.
He's taken a couple of days. Well, he's taken a couple of days off, but celebrating his birthday today. Hopefully, he's not listening or doing anything radio or 49ers related. Which there's almost no possibility that that's true. He's working on something. But happy birthday to our man Kyle Madsen of the Insiders. And big thanks to our man, Matt George.
Yes, indeed.
ABC 10. Make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Kings podcast. We joke that, well, there's not much left to look forward to now until we get to the late days of September, early days of October. But that's not going to stop Matt George from pushing out the content. So make sure you subscribe.
It's a grind.
The Locked On Kings podcast. We will head over to 102.5 now and see you back here tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders. on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos Aces!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.